If you have your Bibles today, will you open them, please, to the book of the Revelation, chapter 19, which we have been studying for the past several days. We are studying that portion of Revelation 19 that has to do with the literal return of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth, the second coming of Christ. We have read the paragraph that began with the 11th verse, concluded with the 21st verse, and now, instead of looking at the paragraph verse by verse, we are looking at various facts which are brought to our attention concerning the returning Lord. We have emphasized that when he comes, he will be riding upon a white horse. We have emphasized that when he comes, he will be clothed in vestures, garments which are stained with blood. We have emphasized that when he comes, he will slay the wicked with the rod of his mouth. He comes back with a sword in his mouth. And we examined scriptures to indicate that the Bible was not speaking of a literal sword, but rather the Word of God with which the Lord Jesus Christ will judge the world. Now, today, we want to look with you at another fact. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 12, we read, "His eyes were as a flame of fire." The reason that his eyes are depicted by John as a flame of fire is that everything will be open and naked to him. Nothing will escape his notice when he returns. And as we read in Isaiah 11, he will judge the meek of the earth with righteousness and with equity. Another thing that we would like for you to notice with us, represent the various identifying marks that are presented concerning the King of Kings when he returns to this earth. If you will look again at Revelation 19 and verse 11, you hear John saying, "I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True." This is the first name that is brought to our attention as the Lord Jesus Christ returns to this earth. The one who returns to this earth is the one who is called Faithful and True. Now we might ask, when was the Lord Jesus Christ ever called Faithful and True? Well, turn with me to the Philippian letter, chapter 2, verse 5, and notice that in this great canonic passage of Scripture, which describes the manner in which the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth, the statement that just such a name will be given him is made. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God," that is, thought it not a thing to be held on to be equal with God, "but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Let us remember, the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth with a job to do. He was faithful. He was true in the discharge of those responsibilities. Now we notice in verse 9, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus," as men knew him then, "every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When he returns to this earth, as described in Revelation chapter 19, and is designated as one who is faithful and true, you can be sure that every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. When you have time, you might read Psalm number 45, in which the designation about which we are speaking is further emphasized. Truly, his name was Faithful and True. But let us look again now at Revelation chapter 19, verse 12, as we continue thinking about what is said about the name or names of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 19, verse 12, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Listen, he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. One name he had, as we've noticed, was Faithful and True. And that name was understandable and discernible to everybody who saw him. But he had another name, and nobody could translate that name. There wasn't any word which could adequately express it. It was a name that was given to him by God. Nobody but he and the Father knew what the name was. John was interested in noticing that the name was there, but nobody was able to describe or decipher that particular name. Now, if you will look down at verse 13, you will see that he is presented to us with yet another name, because we read there, he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, notice carefully now, and his name is called the Word of God. And we are not surprised that we should see this name ascribed to our returning Lord, because in chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, we are told that that is his name. In John chapter 1, verse 1, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That is his name, the Word of God. John, in speaking of the matter of fellowship, tells us that he is interested in writing about the Word of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, in order that we might enjoy fellowship with one another. Now, I would like to call to your attention a fourth name of the Lord Jesus mentioned here in this Revelation passage. If you will look down at verse 16, you will notice these words, he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So the fourth name presented to us, the name that belongs to our reigning Lord, is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It is an interesting thing to notice that the name was written on the thigh. The thigh was the place of power and the place of strength in Hebrew teaching, and that is the reason why the name King of Kings and Lord of Lords is so written. This is the Prince of Peace who is leading the procession when heaven is opened by and by, and it is a procession if you will look down at verse 14 for a moment, for there we read, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Not only will the Lord Jesus Christ be riding upon a horse when he returns, but the armies of heaven will accompany him, and they too will be riding upon white horses. Now the armies referred to in Revelation chapter 19, verse 14, the verse we've just read, are you and I. We make up the armies that are going to accompany the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns. That becomes evident if you will glance back at verse 8 of Revelation chapter 19 and read, to her, that is, to the bride, to the church, was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. The armies who follow the Lord, presented in verse 14, are those who are clothed in fine linen, clean and white. We may not be able to make the space program for any number of reasons, but you can be sure of this one thing. We are guaranteed two space trips in the Word of God. One is when the Lord Jesus Christ comes for us, and the other is when we return to this earth with him. And we're going to have to stop right there because our time is gone.